So hello everyone and welcome to our Body Balance monthly implementation call, an implementation versus integration call. Integration calls are those you have with Lynn, and she takes you in smaller groups and really helps you to dig deep and talks to you about accountability and how to put this stuff into practice and where you are and helps you decide where to go next. And it's a much smaller group. With this, we get everybody together, and I want to talk to you about implementation and then be open to answer all your questions about where you're at and what's going on and what your next steps might be. So there's some overlap between what the two of us do, but these are just bigger calls. So I see Rose coming on and a couple of others slipped in there. It's funny that when you come in, you don't just go to the bottom of the list. You go somewhere in there. It's not alphabetical and it's not in timed order. So it's like a random number generator that decides where you go on my list. So hello, hello. So what I want to do before we jump in and get started is I want to just get by either a show of hands or a comment in the chat. I want to find out where people are. So I want to find out module-wise, who's finished the first module, which was the 12 steps, and started on the digestion. That's one question. Who is in the sweet spot and is following along and doing blood sugar now? I know Diana is for sure. Yeah. And then if anybody's even beyond that or you're skipping around or whatever, just like where you are in the program. And then I also want to know, what's the other word? I guess that's it. I just really want to know where you're at right now. So if you could type it in the chat, or I'll just ask by a show of hands and you can type in the chat. Who is still in module one? Raise your hand. Okay, so a few of you are. Okay, cool. And then we'll ask, how's that going? Are you making some progress there? You feel like you're establishing some good habits? Yes, who feels like you're establishing good habits and you're going at a good pace for you? Good. Okay, I just want to make sure you're not stuck, right? And you need help to get out of there. But that module is very comprehensive and we could actually make that module a whole year. Right? So take as long as you need to, and we're not going to take access to the program away from you after the 9 months or whatever we said the length of this was. We'll just let you have it for as long as you need it, really. And then number two, who's in module two right now? Digestion. Okay, Denise, so you're in both. You're skipping around a little bit, yeah? So you're doing the basics and then moving. Yeah, that's fine too, right? Because the habits start to take a little while to sit, and you have to wait till you've mastered everything in module one before moving to module two. And who's in sweet spot module three, the blood sugar? Okay, a couple of you are. Okay, good. All right, so what I want to do, would it be helpful for those of you who are not, or even in the digestion and blood sugar pieces, to just give you a screen share and show you, you know, give you a little explanation of what to do there? Who would find that helpful? Or should we just write? Yeah? A couple of you? A couple of you? Yeah? Let me look in the chat. Let's see. Diana's all over the place. Yeah, we know that about you, Diana. Elizabeth's almost done with module one. You've done grand in the past, but it'll be a repeat. It's always a good thing to repeat anyway. You'll just go faster through it. You won't need as much on the anatomy and physiology. You can skip past a lot of that. Okay. And Patricia's trying to do the metabolic reset. Who's trying to do a metabolic reset now? We're on day five? Yes? How's that going? So we have a sweet spot call after this. We can get on and really, really ramp into what that's about. So what I want to do is we did a lot of work in looking at module one and all that. And what I'd love to do is just jump in and just give you the highlights of module two at this point, because that's where timing-wise I expected you to be. But, you know, sweet spot got in the way here and some of you are in there. And then just give you some tips. And if you have any questions as we go through that, just raise your hand or open your mic and ask me. And then we'll jump into questions. How's that sound? Does that sound like a good plan? Yes? All right. So I'm going to share my screen. Let me find it. Share screen. And it should be open right here. Okay, let me get rid of this Zoom thing. All right. So can you see my screen, everybody? Nod your head if you can see my screen. Yes, or raise your hand. Yeah? Okay, good. So this is the module 2, which is optimizing digestion and detox. And it really is at the heart of everything. Last night I did a practitioner type webinar. Some of you are on it. Some of you come to everything I do, which I appreciate. And it basically is, if you don't fix the gut, the brain's going to suffer. If you don't fix the gut, you know, your thyroid's going to suffer. If you don't fix the gut, you run the risk of joint pains and skin rashes and problems with the heart, et cetera. So we really have to focus on the gut. Some people like to work on the gut and the blood sugar at the same time, and it's certainly doable. I just don't want to overwhelm you. I know a lot of people are in a very busy life, and overwhelm is a big problem. And if overwhelm, anxiety, depression, brain fog, mood swings are in your repertoire, I highly recommend that you get in and start working on the gut. Even if you're not finished module 1, you can do them concurrently, and because they're going to support it. And the 12th step in module 1 is all about optimizing your eating. So it actually makes your food go in right. And so digestion enhancing strategies for eating, which we review in here, but I gave you a glimpse of it here. So in unit 1, we really go into a lot about how digestion works. And you may think, well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. Why do I need to know how it works? I think you do need to know how it works, because you can take ownership when you understand the different phases and what's happening. I'm not giving you the same depth that I give my practitioners in our Digestive Mastery for Practitioners program. But I think we all owe it to ourselves to have like this working knowledge of how our bodies work. So we know when we put a food in and an hour and a half later, we get this pain over here. Oh, well, that's where my liver and gallbladder are. I wonder if there's something related to that. And then you can ask more astute questions. Most doctors in this day and age, they just don't have the time to spend with people really explaining things. They just say, okay, take this, do that, because they're given in managed care like 10 to 15 minutes with each patient. You really can't get into it. So I want you to be empowered. And so we just have a nice video, probably a long video. We have a checklist above it. And that just says, these are all the pieces. So as you watch the video, you check it off. As you download the video, which I highly recommend, download the slides, complete your assessment, et cetera, you can check them off so that if you get interrupted, you come back the next day and you finish, or whatever day you come back and you know where you left off. So we put that. We are in the process of moving these to the bottom so that they're not in the way of the video. And then you can just move to the bottom and do it. Either way, some people said they preferred it at the bottom. This is the thing. I'm not sure how long it is.
Hello.
It's a long video. It's an hour and 6 minutes. So you may want to break it up, right? You may want to break it up and then come back, you know, and do some more later. But I think it's valuable. You may want to fast forward through some of it or get one of those. Well, you don't want to get one of those speed things for me. I do that for a lot of my ebooks that I listen to, but I talk pretty fast. So you may want to get one of those things to slow me down. But the slides have all kinds of good, juicy information about how the digestion works and all the things it can impact and what the functions are. And I try to do a lot of pictures, as you can tell in my slides, to make it easier for you to understand. So it's basically that. And it talks about a little bit about the 4R program. Actually, we're talking more about 5Rs these days, but the 4R program for restoring your gut. And we're going to take you through that 4R program in this piece. We've got an assessment. So please do take the assessment and see where your gut is. Breaks it down into the individual parts and gives you an option. If you have any trouble with the online assessment, sometimes what we find is people with older levels of operating systems or trying to do it on an iPad have some difficulties with the online assessment. You can always print off the PDF, do it the old-fashioned way, and use a calculator to calculate your scores. The thing we added to this piece also, in addition to assessing your digestion, is assessing your nutrient status, because the digestion affects the absorption of nutrients. And we want to see, is digestive impairment possibly contributing to nutrient imbalance symptoms? Of course, nutrient imbalance symptoms can come from, guess what, not eating enough of the foods that contain them, or having interfering substances in there that bind them and don't allow them to be absorbed. Then we do, we recommend a bowel transit time test if you're up to it, and that's either using charcoal or beets or even corn to see how long it takes what you're eating to get through the digestive tract, and that's all described there. We have a drink that we like to have people drink in the morning, which is really got a combination of essential oils and lemon juice and water. You could add sea salt or cayenne just to move things along, but to get your gut going. And then we have some recipes, and we just recommend, which you should have done already if you've done module one, but this was set up for people who maybe didn't go through that. Download the recipe collection and the menu guidelines and this bonus book we have, the Creating a Healing Kitchen Resource Guide, and take a look at it and start check out the green soups, the green drinks. And one thing I will caution you all about, when you have irritable bowel or mostly inflammatory bowel or some kind of inflammation in your bowel, as much as I'm a big fan of eating a lot of raw food, it ain't such a good idea to eat a lot of raw food unless it's in the form of juices or, you know, diluted blends, because the fibers, unless you break it down before it goes in, like with a blender or juicer, the fibers can actually irritate and make it worse. So actually, for some people who have really irritated bowels, recommend 30 days of no salads. No salads. What do you mean no salads? But, you know, it can help to heal, because think of it as a broom going through your digestive tract. And think about it, if you were to take a skin brush and skin brush it over a big open wound in your skin, that would hurt and it would slow down the repair. So we want to do things to improve the repair. So these are some of the things we talk about in module one. But this is critical. We taught it in module one. This is module two. Module one, you've got to get your body in that nervous system state that best absorbs food. And that's by doing old fashioned, we used to do it as kids, say grace with every meal. Sitting down at the meal, giving thanks, and really getting yourself in a calm state. And then stopping yourself as you start to go, click, click, I gotta get this done, or watch the news or whatever. Breathe. Take a breath and then chew. And then chew your food until it's, you know, relatively liquid. We had someone in our ERC program who said, she might be on the call, she said to me, I think I have problems with stomach acid because I'm seeing food particles in my stool. I said, your problem, honey, is a little bit higher up. It's in your mouth. Because if you're seeing food particles in your stool, it's not your stomach's fault. It's your chewing. You haven't chewed it enough because the stomach doesn't have teeth. It's like this just grinds it around. It's like if you put things in, think about it this way. If you put stuff in your washing machine, if you put your clothes in your washing machine, it churns it and it does all this stuff to clean it. It doesn't repulse in your clothing, does it? It doesn't, you don't have your clothing come out in little bitty shreds. That's what happens if you put big foods into your stomach. The stomach just moves it around and tries to coat it with the digestive juices, but it can't break it down. It doesn't have teeth, all right? So we really have to focus on that slowing down and that chewing, and that's a big, big thing. So she comes back a couple weeks later and she says, well, I started paying attention to chewing, and guess what? No more food in my stool, right? So it makes a difference. And then start to remove the foods that harm your gut and digestion. So this is module one. I would say this module could take you a good week or two to get through if you do it in its entirety. If you've already done some of the pre-work this is module two of module two, I guess I'm saying module one of module two. So the unit one, let's call it unit. Unit one of module two of body balance. So I'm going to go back to, and we call it module two up there. We probably should get David to change those to same unit. Unit one, unit two, so we don't get everybody confused, because you're getting me confused. And here we are this is all about, we're going to start with the top, right? We started with the top in module unit one, which is the head and the teeth, right? It's in the head. It's your mindset, calming down and chewing. And we're going to move on to the upper GI, which is the esophagus and the stomach. And we have a checklist again. And again, these videos are fairly long.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Rita.
Oh, this is short. This is only 7 minutes because this is broken down into multiple videos. Eventually, we'll go back and break all of our longer videos into multiple videos, but it just takes time. I guess we did get the time to do this. So the mind, the mouth, and the stomach. So we review the mouth. I'll always show you the slides rather than play the video. We review the importance of the mind and the mouth. We talk about stomach acid in here. We review the parts of digestion, et cetera, the role of the teeth, the importance of swallowing, the esophagus, and then the stomach's job description. It doesn't have teeth. See that lining? No teeth? No teeth. Sorry, no teeth. Maybe in God's next design, we'll have teeth in our stomach because he realized that, he or she realized that we are not really using the teeth in our mouth, so we better make the teeth there work. But for now, let's just go with the design now. And then we have the different secretions. So having you understand what's really going on in there will help you to understand when you have symptoms related to that. And then the next piece is what can go wrong in those pieces, right? So I think that's probably it. That's a little longer, 25 minutes, because there's a lot that can go wrong. And we show you in this, I'll show you in the slides some of that stuff. Woo-hoo-hoo, as I wait. Sometimes these PDFs take a long time to load. And I wonder about that. When it takes this long, I wonder if there's a problem with it. Or it's my internet. The other night I was having that trouble and all of a sudden my internet went out. But I'm still seeing you guys. Oh. Okay, well, it showed it bad and then it didn't. That's weird. All right, so what can go wrong? You know, we look at the stomach. We look at low stomach, high stomach acid, too much GERD, which a lot of people tend to have where the stomach acid comes up into the esophagus and then it burns there. Ulcers, H. pylori, stomach cancer, enzyme insufficiency, pancreatitis, and pancreatic cancer. So these are all the things that can happen in the upper GI. And I just give you a little idea of how to support it and how to see if that's something that's going on with you. And then, and all of these have transcripts with them. So if you like to watch, but then you want to know, you can just take the transcript or you can print the transcript and just highlight things and take notes as you're reading it. And this is some rebalancing program for the upper part.
Hello. And
whoops, that's 29 minutes, so it's a little longer. We're getting longer as we go. But this is the part where you actually get to take some action, right? So if you don't want to know all the stuff in parts one and two, you can skip it, but you might be confused when you get here. But this is the stuff where you take action. This is where we talk about the 4R process, the replace. You know, we look at bitter herbs and various herbs and soothing factors and digestive activity. You know, we just talk about all this stuff, the different kinds of herbs that are useful. And it doesn't mean you have to take all of these, but you can play around with some of them and see if it helps you if you're having any of these symptoms. The pre-meal, we were breathing, action plan, we give you an action plan, and then a review. So I explain it all in the video. I'm going pretty quickly through it right now. And that's it. So there's three videos there. It's about an hour altogether. There's an HCL challenge. Do not do the HCL challenge if you've been diagnosed with gastritis and ulcers. Let me give you say that again. Do not do the HCL challenge if you've been diagnosed with gastritis or ulcers. The first thing you need to do is soothe and rebuild the mucosal lining that's there. Because if you do the HCL challenge in that state, it's going to hurt. Not going to be good. It's not going to be good, okay? So you're welcome to do a HCL challenge if you want. Continue to drink the drink, the morning drink. Begin to add those foods and then start to remove the foods that are hurting. And we're just doing this slowly. It's a process, right? Before each meal, take bitters to stimulate HCL. And we talk about what bitters are. There's a pretty document. We talk about it in the videos, but it's just like it could be foods. It could be like chewing dandelion leaves a few minutes before your meal for several minutes to get the juices flowing. It could be drinking a bitter green juice. It could be taking a tincture. And then get consistent with the pre-meal ritual, please. Stay calm and present. Take digestive enzymes. So use this as a guide because you've got this checklist. If you're the type that likes to print it off, you just print it off. Like there's ways to do it. I know for me, I have this little cool thing called Jing, and I can just take a picture of it and I could say copy. I could save that, just that, to my hard drive, save, and then I could print it. So there's a lot of ways to do it, or screen shares, etc. You might even be able to go like this. Yeah, you could probably go like this. Let's see what does that. Control C. And then if I open up Word, I'll just see what happens if I open up and try to put that in a Word doc and tell you if that's a good way to do it. It may not get the boxes, but hopefully it gets it in a format that you can, that's usable. If not, then I won't tell you to do that. Yeah, look at that. You can't see it, but it copied it perfectly. So I just copied it and then put it in a Word doc. Okay, so that works really well. All right, we're going to go back. Unit 3. Oh, he does say unit. I guess I was in the wrong place. No, he says module. He should say module because when you do the drop down, he says unit. Yeah. Wait, no, he doesn't. Never mind. I'm just crazy. Sorry. So this is where you get to look at the intestines. A lot of people, they say, I've got problems. I'm going to do a leaky gut repair. I've got problems. I'm going to do a candida cleanse. That's not the order to do it in. We've got to start up here because you can keep doing this leaky gut repair, but if you're not chewing your food, you're not mindful before the meal, your stomach isn't producing the right amount of acid, that's not going to get you very far. And a lot of people who do those feel a little bit better for a while, and then they feel worse again. So again, you've got the checklist. There's a bunch of videos in here. So the first one is only 8 minutes long. So it's an introduction and overview of intestinal repair. Am I going too slow through this? Should I speed it up? Is this helpful? Okay. So we go through and it's just, I always review. What are we going to cover in here? Basic anatomy of the digestion. We talk about that. Review the part one action plan. Optimize your upper GI. Whoops. So this is basically an overview. This looks, am I in the wrong place? Because this slides look, I'd have to listen to the, So it looks like it's, here we go, part two. Optimizing your upper GI. So it's just reviewing and then talking about it. So I'll double check that. And then we go on from there into what can go wrong. These are usually longer. This one's 22 minutes. You've got your slides that show you what can go wrong in your intestines. And here's where we talk about your small intestine. This is what it looks like in there, guys. All those folds and, you know, spread out, it would be the size of a football field. And there's all these villi that help you and support you. And then that we talk about gut flora, what they do, some of the symptoms you might feel. This is a real advanced thing. I talk about it a little bit on the video, but all the things that can go wrong with your intestines. And everybody's like on the SIBO bandwagon. Years ago, nobody ever heard of it except us functional medicine docs. It's like SIBO, SIBO, SIBO. Everybody thinks they have SIBO, and maybe you do. But we have to look at the digestive tract as a whole. We can't just say, oh, I have SIBO, I need to take antibiotics or antimicrobial herbs. This is actually what a damaged intestinal lining looks like. So imagine, you know, this is nice and pink, but imagine rubbing like, you know, a skin brush over this. Ouch, right? That would hurt. And that's what happens when you put too much of that fiber that's not been chewed right or not been blended. And that's why a lot of times you'll see recipes in the guide. I have people lightly steam and then blend their food. And if you could do a 1 month of either fasting, very few of you are going to do that, juicing, few of you are going to do that, but blending your food, you know, any combination of that, given 30 days, that lining can turn all pink again. So that's what we talk about in here, how to do that. Symptoms, gluten intolerance. We talk about some of the lab tests if you want to do some of that. Any questions so far? Then we go into the fun part, the healing strategies. That's a little longer. That's 40 minutes. And we talk a lot in here about repairing the leaky gut, like the repair and re-inoculate phases. So things that you remove, right? The remove is really important. What's dysbiosis? Secrets of clearing out candida, some antimicrobial herbs, what you can replace things with. We talk about probiotics and re-inoculating. We talk about specific balance in your gut. Like if you're finding like, I'm not eating that much, but I'm gaining weight, you may have a predominance of Firmicutes, that kind, that class of bacteria versus Bacteroides. And those guys are like, they'll gobble up and, you know, these guys will gobble up all your calories. These guys are not, and you're going to utilize more of those calories and get you fat. Probiotics, a lot of that. Demulcin foods, super important for the upper GI and the lower GI. Therapeutic foods, so you don't have to do all of them, but we lay out a plan for you. Some supplements and what amounts. You don't need all those supplements or all the herbs. Some of the stuff that we've used in the past. So it gives you all these action steps. And then we have here, and we have a separate document on a 7-day leaky gut repair. Actually, we take it longer if you want to take it longer. All right. So that's basically it. And then on the page, you're going to see there's some extra assessments to see, do you have leaky gut, or is there a high probability you have it? Is there a high probability you have candida overgrowth? Continue your pre-meal rituals. Thank you very much. Remove allergenic and potentially allergenic. So this is reviewing back the elimination diet in case you haven't done it in part one. Happy belly checklist, the foods that harm, the foods that heal. And I think this is a really nice little, it's a fun chart you can print out. And it gives you a little bit of description of each of them. You know, what harms your gut? What heals your gut? And it's just real pretty, a nice thing to take out and print out and maybe even laminate. What else? Okay, so there's where this is the healing leaky gut regime. Vitamin C calibration, you can read it and try it. But if you have really severe irritable bowel, where your bowels are really touchy, I wouldn't do that right away. I would just gradually start to increase your vitamin C intake. Gut-friendly meals, so you've got the recipe collection. Menu plans, okay? Any questions on that so far? We got two more units to go, I think. Oops. Yeah, we have 4 and 5. Any questions? No? Lynn, look at the chat and I'm there. Okay. All right, and now we have implementation protocols and special strategies. Here where we look at, we summarize the gut repair. It's mostly the same stuff. You know, because you need to hear things a couple of times. So it's just a summary to keep you on track. And it's not very long, is it? No, it's 42 minutes. So maybe we go deeper there. Then we talk about candida, parasites, and gut bugs. And let's see how long that one is.
So then we look
20 minutes. So it's broken up. So you might hear me not start with, hey, welcome, but the continuation of the previous to make it easier for you. And this is going to really get into this stuff. And how do you identify it? And what are some of the herbs? And we give you a 28-day protocol. This is just one supplement. I really like Health Force, but they have discontinued a lot of their supplements. Hopefully they still have this one. And the reason I like this particular parasite cleanse, it's because it's very gentle and it doesn't cause as much of the die-off reactions because it has some things to help you. See, has some things to help control the die-off reactions by supporting your liver. Some of the others don't. So you can always take some extra stuff if it's no longer available, but it's a real gentle one. Some people go through that. It doesn't really do the trick. Sometimes we have to do a stool analysis to see what's in there and what the specifics are. And sometimes we have to do like allergy research, tricycline, and there's a number of those. We give you the doses. We give you the whole thing. If you're going to do the cloves and make your own, it's really easy to make. Cloves kill off the eggs, so it's a really important part. There's the parasite supplement schedule. And of course, we have to continue the other pieces and putting back the gut flora. Is this helpful? Yeah? Okay. And then we have the 30-day leaky gut repair.
Repair.
16 minutes. So that's not as long as the other one. But you can see I recorded them all together and then we separated them. It's only the first one that we didn't. We'll have to go back and do that first one. Repair the lining, some of the herbs. Some of this is repeat, but it's good to see. And I talk a lot about it in there. The different doses for repairing the gut, some of the anti-inflammatories. You know, whenever you see a list like that, people go, and I bought this and I bought, no. Let's just play around. Like, let's take the stuff that you may already have or are familiar with, and then we'll see what works. And we actually give you a protocol that you can follow. But protocols don't always work for everybody, right? Because we're all individual. And we'll help you to personalize when you get there. Healing leaky gut formulas. Here's the first 7 days. This is actually a screenshot of the document that we give you. So it's a 7-day gut detox and a 23-day repair. So that was days 1 to 7, and this is days 8 to 30, right? There's a lot of leaky gut repair protocols. There's a lot of leaky gut repair formulas. This is just one, and we're here to help you to personalize it for you. Okay, we don't have any particular products that we, you know, have formulated and selling to you. So we're open to using what works for you. Okay? And even if you can't do the whole 30 days, just take time out to do the 7-day, because that'll help you jumpstart it for when you are ready. We give you the gut-friendly foods and all that. Okay. Let's see what else we have here. And now we go into some more advanced stuff. Not everybody needs to do this. You've probably heard of FODMAPs, and people are on a low FODMAP diet. And I think that the way people deal with low FODMAP diets is they think it's a forever diet. No, I can't eat chia seeds. No, I can't eat slippery elm, even though those things repair the gut. It's like, well, let's just do this in a more reasonable way. Let's just look at it as a temporary restriction of certain foods that may feed unhealthy bacteria in your gut. Same thing with SCD. They're similar. And then SIBO, reason I lumped them all together is because a lot of times with SIBO, we're putting people on a low FODMAP, low SCD type diet. And so we talk about that all in here.
Special circumstances.
16 minutes, so it's not all that long. We have some stuff in here where we talk about these specific, what these diets are, in case you've heard of them but don't really know, what SIBO really is and what causes it, and then what's the management, what do we do? We're not just killing the bacteria. We want to starve them, and that's where the FODMAP diets and elemental diets, et cetera. Killing the bacteria can be part of it, and there's a list of things that you can use from an herbal standpoint. The formulations are at the top. Most doctors will use antibiotics, so there's some formulas or not. Repairing the gut, right? We have to do that, because if we don't repair the gut, we're still going to get this overgrowth. Prokinetics, which makes the gut work. So we've talked on another call. I don't remember if it was which call it was a couple of days ago, but it was a Triphala. It's a combination. It's an Ayurvedic herb combination that works really well for soothing the gut and helping to move things along. But a lot of people, the problem is they don't get into what's called the migrating motor complex isn't working properly. And here's the thing about the migrating motor complex. It gets activated about 3.5 hours after you eat a meal. So people are eating every 3 hours. You're never activating your migrating motor complex. So what the migrating motor complex does is it moves things along through the small intestine, gets it to move all the way through, so it makes it to the ileocecal valve and then into the large intestine. And if we're not allowing that to happen, then we're not going to get good motility. And a lot of times the bacteria that are supposed to go down and just settle in the large intestine end up staying in the small intestine. So these are kind of the things, and I talk more detail in the video there. So what do we do? What do we do, right? So if your score is over 60 on the Candida assessment, then follow the Candida and Parasite Cleanse Protocol, okay? And this is the document that summarizes what I talk about on the video. All right, it gives you a chart. This is a chart that comes from Sweet Spot, but I modified it a little bit to be useful for the Candida cleanse, and that's your daily regime. And then, if indicated by a score of greater than 6 on the leaky gut assessment, then you want to follow this. And again, I take all the stuff we talked about in the video. But watch the video first, because the document may not make sense until you've watched it. So I give you lists of different foods and different supplements and a schedule. And then, if indicated by difficulty or worsening symptoms, i.e., you know, you're following all the stuff, you're doing all the stuff above, and you don't feel like you're getting better, or you might be getting worse, then you're a special case, and you may want to look at this specific diet protocol that I put together. Hopefully we got the updated one. Oh, this isn't the updated one. Lynn, will you make a note to get, there's an updated version of this on INE. I want to get the INE version because I go through a little bit more detail and step by step. All right. And then if indicated again by it's not getting better, then we jump to SIBO. We don't jump to SIBO when you're not chewing your food. We don't jump to SIBO when you're eating under stress. We don't jump to SIBO when you've got low stomach acid and other. There's a whole lot of other stuff which will correct this if that's an issue. And if not, then we're going to take the additional SIBO actions. There's a SIBO assessment. There's a SIBO protocol and SIBO diet guidelines. So let's see. Oh, that's not. So this is some ideas for SIBO management. So you can print out the PDFs and put them in a binder. I highly recommend you have a binder for this program. And then there's the diet guidelines. This is it. This is the one. Okay, so it's down here for the SIBO guidelines. So what this was is, it talks to you about why and how long and all this stuff. What you want to do for this diet, if you're going to follow this diet because things aren't getting better and you're going to restrict, you're going to start with just eating the things in the green column that agree with you. So if you eat something, you get gas and bloating, probably leave it out for a while. If you have blood sugar issues and you eat pineapple and your blood sugar shoots to 180, not a good idea. So we use this with caution, but look at this. There's a lot of foods in the green column. We have it separated by fruits and vegetables, legumes, nuts and seeds, dairy, eggs, meats, seasonings and condiments, sweeteners and beverages, fats and oils, right? We should all avoid everything in the red. This is just not a good idea if you have gut problems, until your gut problems are healed. And then after about 30 days of doing just the green, then you can start experimenting with the things in the yellow. Like if there's foods in here that you absolutely miss, I want to have tomatoes. Then you test it. You see how you do. All right. So it's a really structured regime for doing that. So yeah, I'm glad it's here. And that's it. Questions? We're almost to module 5, part 5, which is on liver and gallbladder and large intestine. Any questions? No? You guys are good or are you bored?
I have a question, Dr. Reed.
Yes. Yes, Denise. Oh, is it Denise? Oh, I see Jeannie. I saw Denise go like this and then I heard the voice. There it is, Jeannie. Hi.
I just was curious when you were saying that, you know, start putting things back, you know, gradually. But if you go back to the foods, then isn't it going to come back again?
No, because the foods on my list are real whole foods. The foods that caused it were probably not, I don't know, chia seeds, right? The foods that caused it were foods you were eating in the past that were aggravating it. So we're not talking about starting to eat candy again, right? We're talking about introducing foods that are higher, a little higher in FODMAPs, a little higher. Because if you developed a FODMAP sensitivity, then it's the gut bugs that are growing from eating those foods, the ones you don't want. So once the bugs are gone, now if you jump right to the SIBO thing, which I don't recommend, I recommend you go through the stages. And if you jump down right to it, you may not have killed off or healed off the candida, parasites, whatever. And yeah, if you start to eat foods that feed them, it will come back. But what that means is that you got to go back and rework the protocols to get rid of them.
Okay.
It's a good question. Yeah. Does that help?
Yellow foods and there's the green foods, the yellow foods. Like you said, you should never eat probably the reds.
Don't eat the reds.
But the others are fine. Just
if you tolerate them. Yeah.
And test it and see.
Exactly. Exactly. And most people go on this low FODMAP diet and they're told to eat just from the green and they're doing it for 2 years. How? You know? There's something else missing in your protocol if you need to do a low FODMAP diet for a long time, and we have to go back and see what that is.
Okay.
It could be stress. It could be just you're not doing the relaxation stuff and everything's just in an uproar. Yeah, good question. So boosting elimination. How long is this one?
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
You're talking, and you're going to probably talk about it a little bit more here too, but some of the questions on the chat, there's a sense of timing and like how long will this be? And that's kind of it depends question or answer to that question. But, I've seen people take, 1 to 2 months to really go through, and that kind of balances off of Jeannie's comment that, the whole idea is that you're giving your internal system this break, this rest, the ultimate staycation. And then you add those things in. But there were some questions coming up here. So I just wanted to bring up that there's not, it's not like a 7-day cleanse or whatever. It's, it depends.
Yeah, and we lay it out as 230, a 28-day and a 30-day. You can do them concurrently. But if you have bad overgrowth, you may want to address the candida, parasites, etc. At least get a head start of a week or two and then start working on the leaky gut at the same time. But if you tend to get overwhelmed, just do one and then do the other, in which case sequentially that takes you through. Yeah. And it does depend on how bad it is and how much damage is done, but the whole process is intended to help you to just relax through it and take your time and get it done. Not just try to rush through it and go, I just did a 7-day cleanse. I feel great. Oh, 2 weeks later, I feel like crap again, right? Because you haven't had that time to get your body together. We have overview. So elimination, we talk about the physiology, where it fits into this. We review the assessments, talk about the different parts of the large intestine. Most people don't even know where their large intestine is. Believe me, they go, yeah, oh, I have a stomach problem. They're holding their lower pelvic region, right? So this is intended for you to actually see where all these parts fit together. Not that you're going to memorize it, not that we're going to give you a test. What is that silly appendix that everybody gets taken out? I don't have my appendix. They stole it from me. What is that ileocecal valve, which is the valve between the small intestine and the large intestine? And how does that, play into constipation or diarrhea when it gets stuck open or closed? Talk about your poop, the Bristol stool chart. So this is really to inform you, like if your stool looks like this, it's a different message than if it looks like this. So if it's type 7 versus type 1, we're really looking for a nice, smooth, consistent shape stool. And, people go, what are you doing looking at your stool? But it, you want to take pictures and bring it to a call and ask us. We're beyond getting, offended by looking at people's stool pictures. So if you're open to doing it, go ahead. We've had people do that and show us little worms in there. Like, okay. Yeah. So don't worry about that. We'll help you with it. And then what does it take to heal this? A little longer again. So this is first it starts with the intestine, and then we're going to go on to the liver. So there's a lot that can go wrong down there, right? So we talk about the various things that can go wrong. Probiotics are super important for this part, super important. But you know what? And there's all kinds of herbs and things like that in here. I'm going to see transit time tests, which we talked about in the food. How do you improve your transit time? Right? What are some of those demulcent herbs? Again, you'll see the same herbs showing up over and over again. And what you do is if you have problems in all of these areas, you'll look for those herbs that are common to all of the areas that can help you. But then I have one last one, which is somewhat organ specific, right? So slippery elm and licorice are good for that GI lining. Probiotics are good for the large and small intestine. Fiber is good for the whole tract. Cabbage can be really helpful for healing the stomach. Chia and flax, small and large intestine mostly. Milk thistle seed, liver and gallbladder. Short chain fatty acids for the colon. Okay. And it'll make sense when you listen. And then I gave you a schedule. Right at this point, what are the things you should be doing on a regular basis? You've been building to this, so you don't have to jump right here. Just add to it, and then you go, okay, I'm doing much of this, and I'm doing not so much of that. Let me change my focus. Then we look at the gallbladder. And we have I think this is a longer one.
We are
45 minute long. But this is all about your liver and gallbladder. And some of you don't have gallbladders. So we talk about that. Like, what do you do? What do you do to save it if you still have it? And what do you do if you've missed it? Again, a review. What's involved in fat digestion? What is bile and what's the role of it? And why is the gallbladder so important for that? And up here, you'll see that the gallbladder is just like, it's just this little guy that's tucked in under the liver, right? You see it? It's just a little guy. It's green because it stores bile. It concentrates it, so it's like on-demand bile. Here's what it looks like. What's its job? The biggest causes of liver disease or gallbladder issues. So if you've had a gallbladder problem and you had your gallbladder removed and you haven't addressed the underlying causes, it's going to wreak havoc in the rest of your body. So that's the problem with some of the Western medicine approach. It's not working. Take it out. Right? Not a good idea. How do you test it? And some of the support, keeping your gallbladder. If you don't have one, if you have it already still, how do you prevent gallstones and flushing out congestion and bile? And here's some ideas for that. Living without a gallbladder, some special considerations for those of you who don't have it anymore. And write into the chat if you're one of those that don't have your gallbladder anymore. So it's important to avoid the fried foods and trans fats and avoid dairy and fats cooked with sugar and reducing grains, using bitters, supplement with lipase, and supplement with bile salts, okay? So this is some of the stuff. There's a new we're waiting to hear from one of our practitioners who has had issues in this area, and she started on this new product from Seeking Health that's a gallbladder support. Some people can take bile salts, and for some people it gives them diarrhea. But I don't recommend bile salts necessarily for people who still have their gallbladder unless it's not functioning properly. And that's basically bile salts. It's what, you know, what we actually use. General guidelines. Liver support herbs, foods for the liver. These are foods you can start incorporating on a regular basis just to protect your liver. You know, alternate them, right? Milk thistle, you can take the seeds and grind it. Burdock, you can get it at the store and stir fry it. Dandelion, you can drink it as a tea or eat the leaves. Hawthorn, there's little berries that you can buy and soak and add to smoothies. Seaweed, chlorophyll, green tea. Chlorella and spirulina. These are all foods that you can start adding just to protect. What are cholagogues that help move the bile? And here's a gentle 5-day liver gallbladder cleanse that you can do. It's very gentle. It's not like some of the ones that have you drink, you know, this mixture with a cup of olive oil. And there are good ones. One of our practitioners, Isabel, runs a cleanse. But she guides people through every step of the way. She has daily calls to make sure you do it right because it's an intense cleanse, but it's pretty remarkable. So this is something you could do on a regular basis, and we can give you a link to her stuff. She does it, I think she does it every quarter. Right, and then you have some documents, right? Do a transit time test if you haven't. See what your elimination's doing. Continue to drink your meat, your drink. Continue with digestion pre-meal rituals. Continue on adding the foods that help and foods that harm, take away. Practice habits to optimize your digestion. This is a good one. The Moving Toxic Out Boot Camp. Boot camp for your bowels. And so it basically has some strategies. It's a, you know, fairly long document. So you understand it. And how do you do it? What do you do? It talks about the Bristol stool chart, goes into some detail. So you have this in a nice written format.
Someone asked on the chat, looking at the stool chart, which is the ones that they should lean more towards?
Well, I would say all of these are problematic. That's none of these are what they should be. But I think closest is going to be, say, you know, number three-ish, right?
Okay, three or four, somewhere in between there.
Four is skinny, right? It's skinny, and that usually indicates that there's fast transit time and things are, like, coming out of the small intestine.
Okay.
Sometimes you see them skinny like that, but squiggly, right? Mm. Something like this, but without the bumps and cracks. All right? And I think we talk about it more in the video. Eat your brassicas. Include greens if you handle them. If you handle them raw, great. If you handle them lightly steamed, if you handle them blended, whatever way you can get it in. If you can't get the greens in because they're harsh on your gut, then I would go ahead and do powders. And there's kale powder and broccoli sprout powder and spirulina, chlorella. There's all sorts of them. Eat the calming herbs, you know, and movement is so important. And abdominal massage is so important. Okay. Yeah, those are good questions. Thank you. And then the last one is just putting it all together. We just do a review and I'm going to show you a document that I absolutely love. It took me hours and hours to create. And this is probably a long video.
Hello.
Yeah, it's an hour long video. We never broke it up because it wasn't logical. So the review, the charts, this is my favorite document. It may be overwhelming for some of you, but I love this chart. Okay, so this is a guide that's a summary of everything in all the different modules of the gut program. So it goes through, but the part I like the best is this. So you can take this when you do your assessments, you can mark your scores on them. And you can write when you, this is a sample filled in. So the first assessment you do, and what was your score? And then what was the priority? Well, the highest priority is going to be this low stomach acid, right? It's highest score. Or actually the candida, highest score. But we're going to go in order. So if there's stuff that's low priority, you might want to skip it. But you want to start at the top. Start your protocols. And if... when you completed it, do the scoring or put the date in and then do the score at the end. Okay. Now it gets nicer. So, this is the blank one. And then here's the score to know whether it's high, medium, or low. And we gave you a summary of that for each of the different protocols. And then here we go. So on here, on this chart, if you find out that you have low stomach acid, which of these protocols are going to be most helpful for you? The ones in dark green. The ones in light green will be good, but not as critical as the ones in dark green. The ones in pink are caution. It may aggravate. And the ones in red absolutely don't do if you have that particular problem. So it helps you to be able to, like, you can go through this with your own scores and say, okay, I have low stomach acid. I want to focus on these particular things first, and then you can go to the light green. You see what I mean? And then you avoid, you can put an X through the things you should avoid, like on this chart. Okay, put an X through if you have issues that make it so that you have to avoid it. And it goes down for all the different areas. Okay, and this says mandatory, helpful, caution, and avoid. All right. So read that document. Ask me questions about that document. You can see there's so much information here that it's impossible to give you all the information on these calls. I want these calls to be implementation calls. You've got a ton of information in there. Take it step by step, slow and steady wins the race. Okay. Then there's the reassess. I'm always a big fan of reassessing. And some of you may have decided as you go through this to do a stool analysis or an OAT test to get some answers if you're not responding through the protocols. I try to be careful with your budget. I try not to do any tests that I don't think are absolutely necessary, but some of them for some of you are going to be absolutely necessary. Okay? All right. Lynn's answering a question about the green cleanse being different. The green cleanse is a soothing, short, it's basically a good jump start for any of these protocols, really. All right. So I'm here to support you in any way you need. What's going on for you? What help do you need? Where do you need the help? And what successes are you having? So anybody that has a question, you can raise your hand by raising it on the, I don't remember how to do it, Lynn, you could tell me. Oh, they just go to your name and you go raise hand. And then if you want, just raise your hand like this or open your mic and say, hey, you, and you'll get my attention. So who has?
Rose has had her hand up for a while.
Rose? Mm-hmm. Okay, unmute. Oh, yeah, I see a couple of them open. Hi, Rose.
Hi, I'm sorry. I think I answered a question when you said raise your hand, and so I didn't have anything. I'm sorry.
Oh, you don't. Oh, no worries. It's good to hear your voice. Good. All right.
Thank you.
Cindy has her hand up too. Yeah. So how's it going for you so far?
Good. It's going good.
And where are you at?
Well, I'm doing both digestion and blood sugar.
Good. It's a good combination.
So I'm testing a lot and finding out, things that are raising my sugars up high. I bought some organic soup mix at our food co-op and made a big pot of bean soup. It was all different kinds of beans.
And how did that go for your blood sugar? Did that go okay?
It spiked to 190. It took 2 hours to come down.
Not surprised. You know, when you test like that, the mixtures are the problem, right? Some people, I know people who can eat black beans, but not white beans. Some people can eat white beans, but not black beans. Some can eat lentils, but not the bigger beans. So it's good if you are going to test legumes. Now you don't know which of the legumes, but if you are going to test legumes, because it's an important part of what you want to eat, you really want to test them one at a time with small amounts, a couple of tablespoons, see how it goes, right? So,
well, I got to say, the soup was awesome.
Was it delicious? Put it in the freezer for after you do the metabolic reset. Feed it to your family.
Oh, yeah, it's in the freezer.
Good for you. Thank
and grapes were not good for me. And I'm trying to remember what else. But anyways, I just have kept testing. And I've been keeping a chart every time that I test of what I ate so that I can go back and look at it and say, what was that? No, I don't think I'll do that again.
Right. Perfect. That's the way to do it. That's how you learn and you remember, because I don't remember what I ate 3 days. Actually, I do. I didn't eat anything, but I don't remember what I ate a week ago. You're not going to remember. And did that raise my sugar? Or was it the other meal? It's too much.
One thing that's interesting, is that I've cut way back on like meat and chicken and stuff like that. I used to always feel like I needed to have that at every meal. And I actually am enjoying the vegetables more.
Yay.
So it's rock. Like my taste buds are changing.
Good for you. Yay. Thank you so much for sharing.
And I wouldn't be able to do that without, and your recipes, I got to give you big kudos on your recipes, because I made the creamy curry broccoli soup yesterday. Ooh,
it's one of my favorites.
And I added some fresh basil to it because I'm a big basil fan, and I think I put it in just about everything that I fix, and it good is idea. Yummy.
Good. Yeah. So if anybody wants to try a good soup that they haven't had, go for it. We're going to do a soup, Vital Healing Kitchen in December. I'm excited about that because that's the time of year that we want those warming foods. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go to Cindy.
My favorite is the creamy Southwest chowder. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, well, I'll try that.
It's been so long. I've made these foods and I put them in books and then I forget they're even there. I have to pull up. I have to open the book just to give you an idea. The problem with me is I never make it again the same way. So I'll look at it and I'll go, oh, that would be good if I added this to it. Oh, I don't have that. You know, so, but it gives me ideas when I look at the books. I used to take cookbooks to bed with me and just read them and get ideas and then create recipes the next day.
I bought these little thin, sticky notes, you know?
Yes, and you stick them on the pages, right? I do that too.
I do. I printed the books out, and then I started reading the recipes, what was in them. I go, oh, I like that. There's a sticker. There's a sticker. And my sister's teasing me now because she goes, you know, there's a lot of stickers on here. I say, yeah, I know. I had to go buy more. Because they're just stuck everywhere because everything started looking good to me.
Yeah, it's good that's your taste buds are changing. And, you know, if you find something that you make and it doesn't quite suit you, you may it was probably too much garlic or not enough lemon, and you make it differently the next time.
And I like the hummus. I love the hummus.
Oh, the cauliflower hummus? No,
the hummus. One with the cashews.
Oh.
The cashews and the lemon, because you mentioned lemon, it made me think of that. The cashews, the lemon, and the pink salt.
Huh, I didn't remember that one. Huh, I think that sounds more like a cashew cheese, but I have a couple of hummus recipes. One's a broccoli hummus and one's a zucchini hummus. So instead of garbanzo beans, you use that. And I just recently had a...
I'm thinking hummus. That might have been in the keto challenge.
It was in the keto challenge, yeah. I'm going to move on so we give somebody else a chance. So I see Cindy, Sharon, Carol, and Patricia. All right.
Thank you. I was trying to see if I can figure out how to put down my hand.
We'll put it down. Oh. Lynn will put it down for you.
All right. Hi, everybody.
All right. So, Cindy, where is she?
Hi.
There she is. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, everyone. So, I am on the digestion one unit. Now I'm confused about the units and the modules. But anyway, I just did my bowel transit time.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the results from that yet. But I'm also, like somebody else said, doing the blood sugar and digestion together.
Yep.
I can't, a couple of things I made notes of. I can't do the gut rejuvenator because it raises my blood sugar too much with the lemon.
Wow.
I was really bummed out.
Have you tried it with apple cider vinegar?
No.
Try it with apple cider vinegar or ume vinegar or one of the other vinegars. Not balsamic.
Okay, yeah.
That'll raise your sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the same amount, a teaspoon or?
Yeah, I would say a teaspoon. I would start with a half teaspoon tasted. If it tastes, you can go up to a teaspoon. You can even, some people do a tablespoon, but that's pretty strong, so see how it feels.
Okay. And I just made a green smoothie for the first time while I was checking my blood sugar and got real discouraged because my fasting blood sugar has never been lower than 93. But I have, and I've been keeping track of it, I have gone down to 84, here and there, which is kind of interesting, which I don't know why, because I don't see any reason for that. But all of a sudden, I'll check it, and it'll be 84. So that's weird.
It could be your stress level. It could be the amount of sleep you had, whatever. Yeah.
So so when I took my blood sugar before I had the smoothie, and I had, and it was 99, and then I had made a 32 ounces of a green smoothie with all kinds of greens. And I tried it with a half a cup of berries and it didn't taste good to me. So I put in a cup.
Oh.
That went, my blood sugar went up to 142.
Yeah. I still to this day, I don't think I can eat, drink a smoothie with berries. I can eat a half a cup of berries, oh. But when I blend it, because it makes the sugar more available, I can't. So I would recommend you do the savory smoothies. And there are some savory smoothies in the Sweet Spot book, but there's also some in the Hormone Hacking Breakfast Menus book that's on that site as well.
Okay.
And that one has like my husband's favorite smoothie, which is awesome. And I love it when he makes it for me. He's gone this week. So fortunately I'm fasting, so I don't miss the smoothie, but, yeah, I would make that and whatever your favorite herbs and spices are. He puts ginger and turmeric and cayenne. Oh no, actually jalapeno. He puts a lot of lemon. So you leave out the lemon because of that. You might put some ACV in there. He puts ume vinegar in there. And it's just the greens and avocado.
Okay.
That might be a really good one to add to that to give it the creaminess that the fruit would give.
Okay. Yeah. So then it went down. Then 25 minutes. I just did this today. And then 25 minutes later, it went down to 121. And 15 minutes ago, it was still 121. So obviously,
it's slow going down. So a couple of things, you know, to get it down. If you have some chromium or magnesium, you know, or both, take those with it or the DHA as well. Maitake mushroom would be a good thing to have. You can get powdered maitake. You can get whole pieces of maitake, but the powdered maitake could be something to make a quick elixir with, and that can help bring it down. For me, avocado brings it down.
Oh,
my sugar goes up. I just sit and eat a half an avocado. And or a whole one because I like them. My sugar goes down.
Okay.
Right? So try adding the avocado to the smoothie.
Unfortunately, there's stuff from my blood test that I can't do, and avocado is one of them.
Oh, no. Okay. So, you know, another kind of fat like olives might work.
Yeah.
And even making an olive tamponade, you know, where you blend them up and put some spices in it could be a good thing to do.
Okay.
Right. If avocado you can't do, then you can't do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love avocado, so I do it once in a while. But so I think I don't know if it was this call or what, but I was having trouble getting alkaline. I was alkaline a few times, and now I'm back to acidic. And I've been working out every day now, and I've changed a lot of things. And so I don't know. And my stress, you know, I've reduced my stress. I'm working out every day, 45 minutes on cardio, and so I don't know why I keep coming.
Don't stress about it. Just monitor it. Don't stress about it. Allow your body to heal in the way that it's going to heal. Do all the right things.
Okay.
And don't worry about it because that added worry is going to cause you to.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a vicious cycle.
Exactly.
Okay. And I also added bee pollen to my smoothie. Is that like sweet? Like I'm thinking.
I mean, it does have a sweetness to it. So you might try doing that without the bee pollen. And then if you get a smoothie that works, then add the bee pollen and see if it changes.
Okay.
It.
All right. Those are all the questions I have.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. And the bursts can help too with the elevated sugar. Do a burst, walk a couple times around the block, do some heart math or meditation. All those things can help you to bring it down.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Good, thank you. Right. And I highly recommend when you do have something that raises your sugar up that you don't eat again until you're back at baseline.
Oh, that's a good point. I was going to ask you about that.
Don't eat again until you're back.
It's down.
So it's down in the 90s again.
So let me just ask you, as far as the blood sugar, I know this is, I'm just going to say this. I know I know there's no answer, but how long does it take to fix this? I mean, that's the simplest way I can say it. Like, am I going to have to always, I don't even know how to.
Okay.
Question.
It depends. That's my answer there. It depends. Like some people, you know, it's great within a month and they start to gradually increase their foods, the good foods. If you go back to the red foods, if you go back to the breads and the pastas and all that, it's just going to come back. You probably have genes that predispose. I have a lot of genes. I have to be careful. You know, I've been following this metabolic reset diet for 8 years, right? And it works great. And I can add berries and I can add pineapple. But if I sit down and try to eat a whole pineapple without any greens with it, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. So I think we just all always have to be conscious of our health, right? And it just depends on all those other factors. But I would say, let's not worry about that. Let's just do what we're doing now. Get yourself in the best balance you can. And then, you know, deal with it. What's better? I always say that nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. Right. So I always tell people, if I had to eat cardboard to be optimally healthy, I'd eat cardboard to be optimally healthy. You know, I'm going to divorce myself from my taste buds being what drives me in my actions. And it's hard to do because sometimes I really want one. You know, I don't want junk food anymore. Actually, I really want that coconut yogurt.
Yeah.
Right. I really want a couple of blueberries on top of that coconut yogurt. And that's good. Right. We get to that point where the foods we gravitate towards, but it's re-inoculating your taste buds. It's re-inoculating your gut and rebalancing everything.
So when my fasting blood sugar is more in like in the 70s or 80s, that's what I'm going for. Right. That's what
Yeah, and we have a whole process at the end of the metabolic reset where we teach you, well, you're ready to test things if. And if not, just continue the reset for another week and see if you meet the criteria. Because if you try to do it too quickly, you're going to undo a lot of the good changes you made.
The metabolic reset, is that part of that digestion?
Part of sweet spot, part of blood sugar.
Okay.
So once you've done all your testing and you figured everything out, then you say, today's day one. And we're going to go through this metabolic reset. And what we have in there is you click a link in there and it'll start the messages. And I give you daily love notes and daily motivation to take you through that metabolic reset. So once you're ready to do it, no more testing, right? You print out the chart that's yellow, green, yellow, red. You cross off the things in the yellow and the red, green that you don't tolerate, like avocado, right? And then you go for it and that's all you eat for 30 days and you do your meditations and your exercise and all the other things.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Yay. Thank you. All right. And we had,
Karen was next.
Karen was next, then Carol and then Patricia. So, Sharon, hey.
Hi.
Where are you?
Can you hear me?
I can. Are you on the screen?
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, you're not. Oh, there you are in the corner. I have a lot of people on my screen, so I'm like, oh, I found you. And it's not like in real life where the sound of the voice goes, you know what I mean? You hear a person, you know which part of the room they're in. You're all coming from the same speaker. So thank you, Sharon. Hi.
Hi. My questions were with blood sugar as well.
Okay.
I've started now reintroducing foods that I had eliminated before.
Okay.
And right now I'm working on legumes.
Okay.
And so last night I had chickpeas. And after 30 minutes, my blood sugar peaked at 126. And by 60 minutes later, it was down to 102. So is that anything to be concerned about?
It's a little higher than optimal.
Yes.
Where did it go after? An hour and a half after your meal, it was at...
I've got 2 hours after, and it was at 96.
It's really good how you went from, you know, before and after. It's a little high. So what I would do is next time try chickpeas, add more greens, add a little bit smaller dose of it. How much did you have?
I was hungry, so I did have a hearty portion.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, given those numbers, you might be fine with a big salad with like half that amount of chickpeas. Find the amount that doesn't raise it, and then you can gradually increase it a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not bad. It's just, I would just optimize it a little bit, probably quantity wise.
Okay. And I had the same with my lunch today. I was trying lentils, but I did have lentils and quinoa, so I made a mistake in having two.
Oh, both of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And did that raise you again?
30 minutes after, I was at 122. And by 60 minutes after, I was down to 83. And so that, I've just been testing it.
That was, yeah. So just smaller quantities is probably going to be what you need, and maybe additional greens.
Okay, well, the lentils and quinoa today, I didn't have all that much. So obviously legumes are something that I'll just have to watch out for.
Just have to watch. And like sometimes it's just a matter of increasing the greens. If I eat my tropical fruit and I don't do it with a green smoothie or a big salad, my sugar goes through the roof. I can eat the same amount, but with my green smoothie. So typically if I'm going to eat tropical fruit, I don't want to mix it in my smoothie because I want to taste it. I sip my smoothie, a big old gulp of smoothie, and then I have a couple of bites. And then I have another big old gulp of smoothie. So I'm consistently alternating between the two, and that works for me. But I made the mistake once I was on vacation and I didn't have a green smoothie. It was the last day. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to try this. I'll eat a few pieces of spinach, which is all the greens we had left. And 183.
Cool.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you just play with it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on the right track, and it sounds like it's not terrible. So,
okay. With the gut rejuvenator,
yeah.
With a lot of the things that you recommend lemon juice or lime juice or something with it, and I can't have that much citrus because it is a trigger for me for oral lichen planus.
Don't do
it. So, what can I do with the gut rejuvenator instead?
I mentioned this, I think, to, who was it? Cindy, right? Yeah, because she has a trouble with the citrus too, is that I would say apple cider vinegar could work. Do you talk?
I can't do it either.
Do that. Ume vinegar?
I don't know what that is.
It's a vinegar made from plums. It's a Japanese that you find it in the macrobiotic center. But it may be that the acid is what's aggravating it. So
it is.
You have to just leave it out.
Okay.
You know, you may just
so have just the essential oils in there
and the essential oils. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So Carol and then Patricia. Carol, hi.
Well, hi, Dr. Lynn. Hi, everyone. Dr. Rita Marie in Highland. Okay. Hi, guys.
But hey, hi, guys.
I'm just asking a question on the bowels real fast.
Okay.
I'm alkaline. I'm all greens. I don't do any meat since I started the program. I'm like, okay, I did do a lot of meat anyway. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to be like Dr. Rita Marie and Lynn and everybody and just try meat. And if I did do it, it was omega-3s. And anyway, and I was just going over the bowel because my bowels are really smelly and then they're really slimy.
Were they smelly before you stopped the meat, before you changed your diet?
No, they was still smelly. I did the sweet spot with you last year, mm-hmm. and all that. So yeah, so I've been sticking to the sweet spot and all that and doing, I mean, like I said, I'm just vegan of just fruits and vegetables. I do some nuts and seeds but that's it. I don't even do legumes or nothing like that. So I don't know why. So anyway, so they were always had the issue of foul. And then right now they're like really slimy, more slimier than ever. And I have an Instapot, which I bought in November, which I love, 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 love. But I don't eat a lot. I eat raw. I make my salads. Yep. But I stay in the alkaline section of the always. And I love my Instapot because I can steam my broccoli. I eat like three or four. I only eat once a day because I do the intermittent fasting.
Oh,
also.
Wow, once a day.
So, okay. So
they're smelly and they're slimy. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How far along are you in the gut program? What have you done?
I've been skipping to, and we really need to finish up on the modular one. And then I know I'm doing with Lynn next week, I'm doing the green cleansing.
Great.
So I'm looking at that. So I'm starting to that. Because
I'm going to shut my window because my window's open and it's thundering, and I want to make sure I don't get water in. Give me 1 second. It's about to start. Doggy's gonna go crazy. If you hear barking, it's because she's scared. She doesn't like thunder. All right. So here's the thing. You probably have some gut dysbiosis, which means that there's an imbalance in the gut flora because it's a lot of times it's those gut bacteria that are breaking down your fibers that are creating these toxins that stink, right? Mm-hmm. Good poop doesn't smell, quite frankly. People don't realize that. But healthy poop doesn't have a smell. So if it does have a smell, it means that there's some problems. So we'd look at color-wise. What color is it?
Green.
Green. Okay. You're probably not digesting stuff. So I would be looking at low stomach acid. So go through that module and just do all those pieces in order, right? Address the upper stuff, address the chewing in the mind, of course, and then just keep moving down. Probiotic foods, awesome. I don't know. You might not tolerate some of them, but those could be good and, you know, start.
Yeah, I do. I incorporate a couple bites of that every day. I mean, like I do the kimchi fermented that I get, and I do the sauerkraut. I do sauerkraut because I love sauerkraut every day. I mean, I love sauerkraut.
So yeah, that's great then. But you might have some gut bugs that are just not.
Okay.
So going through the process that I talked about today and looking at the gut dysbiosis, the leaky gut repair, getting rid of the bugs.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. So Patty. Patricia. Sorry, hi. Patricia. There was a Patricia and there was a Patty. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I have been asking some questions about this, and you have answered some of them. But I'm still unclear where to go. First of all, I filled myself with alkaline foods several times over many years. Secondly, I had H. pylori 2 years ago. I did the whole antibiotic treatment and the alkaline foods, got rid of it. Recently, I found out that I have a low infection again. It was 0062 DPM, I think. So not very high because I think under 50 is negative. But trying to get a handle on the sugar regulation, and always my fallback is to go to greens or green drinks, and
right.
I grow my food. So all the food that I'm eating is, you know, organic, but H. pylori comes from lettuce. So I guess my question is, at this point, something you said earlier made me have this question, should I not be eating any salads or raw greens in the metabolic reset or in the cleanse until the H. pylori goes away? Or?
So you said H. pylori comes from lettuce. Tell me more on that.
Well, that's what they say. I live in Peru, and that's what they say here. It comes from lettuce.
Oh, so maybe contaminated.
So, yeah, it could be from the water or I don't know what. And, you know, that the doctors, they just give this heavy-duty antibiotic regime.
Yeah.
Hoping not.
Well, I wonder if you can get some hydrogen peroxide, food-grade hydrogen peroxide, and make a spray and really wash your lettuce well before you do it. If it's just lettuce, it's not in like arugula or other.
Well, that I don't know. I mean, what I do now is since I had I had a pretty heavy duty H. pylori infection 2 years ago, that I didn't even know, you know, that I had it or what it was from, but it was through an endoscopy we found. So, I do what other Peruvians do, which is to wash. I don't know if they do wash their vegetables 3 times. I wash them 3 times in tap water. And then on the fourth
tap
time.
Is the tap water contaminated?
Well, it could be. But on the fourth time, that's to get all the dirt off. And then on the fourth time, I put about 4 to 6 droppers of bleach. Because people here say that is the only thing that will kill the H. pylori. And then I take the vegetables out and I let them all dry on towels till they're all dry. You know, it's my understanding that bleach dissipates in the air. So I've been.
You said you're
trying
growing your own, right? You're growing your own.
Yeah, but sometimes I eat in restaurants and I say no salad, but yeah, you might get something on with a lettuce under, it's on your plate. I mean, pretty hard to avoid.
Okay, so if you're growing your own, I'm not sure all those precautions would be necessary, but that makes me think if you're growing your own and you're watering your food, that it's in the tap water.
Right, or even in the hose water. If I like, it's the dry season now, so I have to water, when it's the rainy season. I don't have to water at all, but right now.
It's a tap filtered. So that would be a concern. You know, the bleach, I mean, it depends on what you're doing afterwards to clean it off, but do you have a filter, a water filtration system? Do you drink tap water?
No, I don't drink tap water. I do filter water.
Yeah, so you might get, to do a final on that, get some food grade hydrogen peroxide. You can find it online. About 8% is what it is. You can mix that in a bottle, just get a spray bottle, mix it with water and spray the vegetables after that, because I'm concerned about the bleach, but then you don't want to put it in the tap water after you've done, right? You don't want to do
that.
Right. Even just for starters, before you get the food grade hydrogen peroxide, take your clean water that you're drinking and put that in a spray bottle and just spray them all off afterwards so you don't have the remnants of the bleach. I'm concerned about the bleach getting into your system.
Okay. Okay. So still use the bleach, but then spray everything with the.
Yeah. And then with the food grade hydrogen peroxide, you're probably going to be okay.
Okay. And should I, you know, should I be eating salad, raw salad, or should I cook everything, you know, through the reset? That's.
You know, how do you feel? What do you, what is your body telling you?
Well, if I stay home and eat my own food,
yeah.
If I travel or go to restaurants.
I would say go with that. Don't eat salads in a restaurant.
Eat
it at home. Don't eat salads at a friend's house because you don't know what precautions they've taken.
Right.
And then I would go through all the steps in the digestive module to get all of that cleaned up step by step by step, restoring stomach acid, restoring the mucosal lining, because we know that H. pylori bores into it and can lead to ulcers. So the demulcent herbs can be very helpful and soothing. And then I think I mentioned this on the call last night when you asked, was mastic gum has been a good one. I think that it's Designs for Health has one. Combination mastic gum and something, some other herbs, I forget what they have in it. What is it called?
Lynn, do you remember? Matula tea?
Yeah
matula tea, no, but that's matula tea.
Meadow sweet.
Jeff says it's meadow sweet mostly.
And petula tea? I think you said petula tea? I don't
Matula. M-A-T-U-L-A. Matula. Okay. Yeah, and meadow sweet is the herb, that the main herb that's in there. I would say the mastic gum. I can't remember what that the combination that they have. I think Designs for Health has it. I'm so bad at remembering particular, you know, companies and supplements, because I'm more of a fan of doing it individually. But that could be helpful too.
Okay, yeah, that'll be helpful. And I do know somebody who has used mastic gum. I mean, I'm not the only person here who's gotten H. I mean, H. pylori is all over the world.
Right, and then you have to be careful, too, of the transmission. So if you're eating in a restaurant, like, do they sterilize their glassware in there? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I literally carry bamboo. It's this little cute packet, and it has bamboo utensils that you can actually take into a restaurant and use that.
Right.
You say, oh yeah, my dentist, it's a metal is a problem for my teeth. So I'm gonna do it that way. So that could be it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, transmission, kissing people, you know, that so can be transmitted through kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if it's rampant there, I'd be careful about the contact I have with other people. Hand washing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They wash their hands and now they're touching my hands. And then I put my hand to my mouth and my nose. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, I know. When somebody tries to kiss me on the lips, I'm like.
We don't do that.
and also I just got I just finally got some glucose meters. So just yesterday and today.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's really, really going well. I mean, I'm doing the green drink in the morning and then salad and some soup or something. You know, everything is pretty much green plus some nuts and seeds. And, yeah, I found pretty good numbers. I was pretty happy with them. I was concerned because my fasting glucose was 100 and 102 when I did it in a lab. But that was after an accident and after going to Cusco, which is kind of stressful. And then I tested it this morning and it was 82.
Good.
You know, it's before getting out of bed.
Look for patterns, right? And see if you pick that pattern up. That's great.
And 45 minutes after the green drink, it was 109. And 2 hours after, it was 89. So
it's great.
I think that, you know, that's going well. But I think that it really helped a lot what you talked about today with the in the implementation about the digestion, because I can see, you know, where I really need to focus to help bring this together. I was just confused about, should I be doing this with H. pylori or should I wait and fix that? But I think I can do them
simultaneously. Just go through the whole process because you want to soothe some of the things that it's broken and it bores in. I think you're good. I think that's okay. The process you can follow. You know, okay. It's interesting as I go through this that, you know, what's really important to me is that we go, and the reason I laid out the program the way I did is because we just want to go systematically through. And a lot of people are, I don't know why, I just keep having to do these parasite cleanses and this and that. And when we get down to it, they're not doing the upper part as well. So in the liver, gallbladder, and all of the pieces fit in together.
Yeah. Well, okay. Thank you so much. This is really very deep. And even though, like I said, I've healed myself with food many times, you know, I'm at a point and in a place where I need to go deeper with it. And so that's why I signed up for Body Balance. And
well, I'm glad you did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Lynn, also.
Yeah. So that's the other question I wanted to ask. Who's been going to the calls with Lynn, the integration calls? Because that's a great opportunity. Yes. Yes. Yay. Good. Good. Good, good, good. Yeah. It looks like most of you are. So that's good. And if you're not, ask the question, why not? All right. What's holding you back? Is it timing? She has them at all different times and you guys got to choose, right? She gave six times to choose from. You guys got to choose in three different days, six times. So if there's an issue and reason you're not going, bring it to the surface, reach out to her and let her know. Okay? Because she's awesome. All right. Is there anything else in the chat, Lynn? Okay. Any other questions?
So I wasn't sure if this is what you were talking about, the Gastromend.
Gastromend. Thank you.
Yeah.
Read me the ingredients on that one.
Okay. Ingredients. Vitamin C, EGL, mastic gum, methionine sulfonium, vitamin U is what it is, I guess, zinc harnessing.
Okay, yeah, so it's got some good stuff for healing the gut as well. Right, or you can just get the straight mastic gum if you want.
What do you think of Mimosa Pudica? Because I have been hearing a lot of people using that lately.
I haven't done any research on it, so I don't know. What do you know about it? What mechanism?
I do know that it's people have used it, but I know personally have had some really good results in terms of seeing the parasites come out in their stool.
So parasite, more general parasite thing than for, it's not for H. pylori, really. It's more for parasites.
Correct.
Yeah, there's so many things you can use with parasites, right? And it's really finding the one that works for you. I think an important part of the parasite cleanse is the piece we add about the cloves, because you've got to kill the eggs. A lot of people go on parasite cleanses. They kill off all the bugs. And then they say, my symptoms go away. And then 3 months later, or 2 months later, they come back. It's because they didn't kill the eggs. And the eggs then hatch. And now we have a new colony. Right. So it's really important to do that piece. You know, and which herbs you use to get rid of them, you know, you can find whatever ones work for you. I like Artemisia annua, which is in with Scram, I think. And I like some of the other things that are in there, the black walnut hulls and all. But you may find some other things that work just as well. And this mimosa, I don't have any experience with it.
You know, the other thing too, though, with a parasite cleanse, is to consider your own body constitution, because you know you're gonna respond differently to different herbs and things like that. And so there's some that dry you out or give you heat, and you're already a hot person. You probably shouldn't use that. There's some that if you are already thin, you shouldn't use them. If you have excess weight, you shouldn't use. I mean, so you really want to consider what each of the different herbs will
and
do.
That's a really good point. And people may be thinking, well, how do I know that? So before you start taking a bunch of herbs that I have in a list, exactly. Look them up. Find an herb book, go online and just Google them. There's a lot of good information there. Make sure you're not going to like livestrong.com or some of those more commercial sites, but you know, there's a lot of good herbal sites that you can find that have done a lot of research, and you read it and you go, wow, that herb sounds like me, or well, it kills parasites, but all the rest of the stuff doesn't sound like it would be helpful for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guides you have, like with the teas and the kitchen herbalism and so forth, we go into that a little bit more. I know your cafe, which is module 3 here, you have the documents that
really lays out. Document in there on herbs.
Yeah, and your body constitution. And so, yeah.
I'm thinking maybe I can put that herb guide in the extras list. For anybody that wants to take a look at that before they get to that whole module, that can be helpful.
Yeah. And that point you made about cycling is so important,
mm-hmm.
because that's where, like you said, that's where you're going to have the effectiveness with the eggs and so forth.
All right. I'm going to take one last question. I saw Denise put her hand up. Then I need a break so I can go on to my marathon sweet spot call. All right. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Dr. Marie. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really having a problem with gut motility. I'll go back and I need to go back and read about the bowel boot camp. And so I'll go back and do that. But I've been diagnosed with dysautonomia a number of years ago. And I just go through periods where nothing is moving. And I mean, I drink a lot of water. I exercise, I eat mostly greens. I do green soup, mostly the blended green soups. And I can't eat root vegetables. I can't eat fruit except a half cup of blueberries a day. So, you know, just any thoughts that you have.
Yeah, a bunch of things come to mind that I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Look at the liver. There's something that in Chinese medicine, they call dry constipation. It's uh-huh. really a stagnant liver.
Okay.
So look at the liver. I would say
I'm doing some castor oil packs right now.
That's a good thing to do.
That's good. Yeah,
that's a good thing to do.
So when you say look at the liver, what?
Well, there's a whole section on the liver, but
okay, go back and look at the liver.
And,
okay.
And there's actually an herb that works well for constipation that's considered a female hormone herb, and that's Dan Quai.
Okay. So
if you have those, I would look that herb up and see if it, like Lynn just talked about, feels right for your constitution.
Okay, yeah, I'm not familiar with that at all.
Yeah, that's a good one. The other thing is, you know, we always focus on moving the bowels as far as large intestine, but it sounds like with the dysautonomia that your vagus nerve is underactive,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So a couple of things. Coffee enemas help to stimulate the vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of techniques like, you know, gagging yourself with a spoon till you get tears in your eyes stimulates the vagus nerve.
Wow.
Singing loudly till you get tears in your eyes stimulates the vagus nerve.
Singing.
Like, ah, oh,
okay.
Those are uncomfortable. I would highly recommend that you get a book called The Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve.
Oh.
And there's a whole chapter. He's a body worker who came up with studied craniosacral and all, and he came up with all these techniques that he's using phenomenally to get the vagus nerve stimulated.
All right, and The Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve is a
healing
book.
Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he talks about this. He didn't create this polyvagal theory, but there's this theory called the polyvagal theory. What we think about is we have the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nerves.
Right.
The vagus nerve actually has two branches, the dorsal in the back, the ventral in the front.
Okay.
And a lot of times we have an overactive dorsal and an underactive ventral, and that's when we get these problems. And
okay.
He talks about some amazing stories where he teaches people how to do these exercises. He has pictures. He has everything you need to be able to do these exercises on yourself. And they're a lot less painful than gagging yourself with spoon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not very appealing. No. Yeah, that is very helpful because I really think it came from long-term, chronic, very intense stress. Yes. And yes. I think that's, you know, what started it. And then even after, anyway, you don't need to know the details. But,
yeah, but you know, what I would say is if you get the book, he also has resources in there of people that have been trained in his process where he says, look, I don't want to have people have to come to me all the time to do this. I want them to do it themselves so they can go home and do it. There may be somebody listed in your area that you can go visit, you know, for a visit so they can actually do the hands-on and show you and do, and then you can do it on your own.
Okay, well, I live in Alabama, so there probably is.
Alabama might be chill.
It doesn't matter. But I have been seeing someone who does lymphatic drainage and then another person who does gut. She's a massage therapist.
Massage? What you might do is with that book, if you have difficulty with like reading the instructions and figuring it out, bring it in to one of the body workers.
Yeah, I'll do
They'll
that.
They'll figure it out, do it on you, and then you'll be able to do it.
Great. That's a great place. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And Trafala is one that's, you know, a gut motility mover. There's something called Modal Pro from Pure Encapsulation that helps. And it's got things that stimulate from here down because it's probably not just the gut motility. It's probably the migrating motor complex as well.
Okay. You said Modal Pro.
Modal Pro from Pure Encapsulations. So these are just things to try, but I really think getting that vagus nerve stimulated is going
to
be helpful.
I do. That's where I think I need to go. So great. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're so welcome. Okay, guys, I'm going to run. I'll see some of you who are going to come on the Sweet Spot call. You're getting sick of seeing me. I'm going to be on the Sweet Spot call in about a half an hour. We'll see you later. Thank you so much for being here. I'll unmute you so we can all say goodbyes.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Bye-bye. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Yes. Too.